Money, it's a gas. Grab that cash with both hands and make a stash. A new car, caviar, four-star daydream. Think of buying a football team. Money, get back. I'm off right, Jack. Keep your hands off of my stack.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. Oh, we are going to talk about money, and we're not going to be panicked with what's going on in the world. We want to welcome to KDWA Jim Papel. He is with Vermilion Wealth in Hastings, and he is here to talk us off the proverbial ledge. Great to see you.
Hi, Mo. Thanks for having me today.
Well, thanks for coming, because I would assume in your industry, you're pretty busy right now taking phone calls from people like me who are saying, Jim, what's happening?
Yeah, certainly we've had some calls, but I'd say we're doing a lot more proactive calling and reaching out to clients to reassure them on what all this means to their portfolio and, you know, what steps they should take at this point. And I think the most important thing is to understand what you own and how it's impacted and why you own it. So if you're a person that's in retirement, you know, you may have a portion of your portfolio that's in stocks and a portion that's in bonds. And the bonds have actually held up really well. They've actually increased in value as the market sell-off has been going on.
So for people that don't even have anything in the stock market, it's just kind of scary when you hear that the stock exchange actually had to close down or whatever they did recently. So can you explain to people, let's just go way back to the basics. What is the stock exchange? What is the Dow number? What does it mean? What's that term NASDAQ we hear about? And what are stocks versus bonds? Is this too much to ask you all in 20 minutes?
No, that's no problem. So just sort of a rough outline. I think most people attribute the market to the Dow Jones or the S&P 500, but the one that you hear a lot about on the news is the Dow Jones. And that's made up of 30 stocks. The S&P 500 is made up of 500, roughly, stocks. And they represent companies from various sectors of the economy. You asked about bonds, too, so let me explain that. So bonds are really an indebtedness by a company or by the government. So in other words, the government says, give me your money, and in exchange, I'll give you a bond, and I'll agree to pay you a rate of interest on that for a certain amount of time, the term. And so you could have a one-year bond or a five-year bond or a 10-year bond. And one term that's been getting a lot of discussion lately is the 10-year. So the 10-year Treasury bond is really closely tied to how mortgages are priced. And the 10-year hit a new all-time low recently. And so if you have a mortgage, there's never been a better time to look at refinancing. Or if you're looking at buying a home, now is a great time from an interest rate standpoint.
And so how is that tied into the stock market?
Yeah, so as the stocks have been going down, people have been looking for safe places to put their money, and the bonds are considered a safer place, like the government bonds in particular are a safer place to go with your money. And so as people pile into bonds, it has the impact of driving the interest rate down, right? So when there's more demand for something, they don't have to pay quite as much interest rate. And so that's why we've seen those rates go down. Consequently, if you own bonds in your portfolio or you have a bond fund, you're seeing the value of those go up. So it's not uncommon to have a bond fund right now that is up 4 or 5% for the year to date because of the drop in interest rates. They aren't actually paying 4 or 5% interest on those bonds. So you're getting some interest accrual. The interest rate may only be, you know, 2 or 3%. So how do we have a 4 or 5% increase in the first, you know, 2 full months of the year? Well, it's because people are willing to pay more for those bonds as the rates have gone down. So if you had a bond that yielded 2% and all of a sudden the rate now is 1%, that means the bond that's paying 2% is worth more between now and when it matures, somebody would pay you a premium. So that's the good news for folks who are in retirement or who have a balanced portfolio. And a big discussion point we've been having with clients is, now is a good time to take a look at your balance and rebalance. So if the bonds have been the winners and the stocks have been the losers, it's a good time to maybe take some money from the bond side of the equation and add to the stock side. So if you had a 50...
It's kind of counterintuitive.
It is a little bit, absolutely. So let's just say hypothetically you had a portfolio that was 50% stocks and 50% bonds at the start of the year.
And who would you recommend something like that for? Somebody that's in their what age group?
Well, I would say it's really going to be on a case-by-case basis, but generally speaking, that's going to be somebody that's at retirement age at this point. And so for that person, they may have started the year with a 50-50 balance. When the market almost was down 20% on the worst days recently, then, you know, you would expect that the stock side of the equation would have gone from 50% down to close to 40%, right? So consequently, your allocation has shifted from 50-50 to 40-60. So why not take 10% from the bond side of the equation and add it back into the stocks and rebalance? That's what I mean by rebalance. So get back to your original 50-50 balance when you have a major drop like this. And that's something that most financial advisors will look at and advise you to do periodically. But right now, it's a particularly good time when stocks are down as much as they have been.
So was this recent volatility, as you called it, in the stock market, is that something that is really tied into the coronavirus, like people are saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So we came into 2020 with a certain expectation about how companies were going to perform in terms of their earnings. And as the coronavirus has spread around the world, we're seeing people change their behaviors, right? They're not maybe going to do some of the public things that they were going to do. They're not traveling, maybe. They're not going to certain events. We're hearing more and more about different sporting events being limited in terms of access to players and different recommendations coming in from the government. So 2/3 of the United States GDP, so the annual growth of the country, comes from consumer spending. And so if consumers change their behavior and aren't out spending as much, that's going to have an impact, and that's what we're seeing in the market. Is there's uncertainty right now about what companies will earn this year as a result of people changing behavior. And at this point, we don't know how far the virus is going to spread, how many people are going to be affected. So you get indiscriminate selling in the market like we've seen recently, where really strong companies are sold off just as quickly as companies that are weaker. And through that comes opportunity, right? For the long-term investor, it's an opportunity to buy some things that they thought maybe were priced a little high as recently as the beginning of the year.
So the volatility also then is something that we shouldn't worry about if we're in it for the long run?
That's correct, yeah. Hopefully you either study the markets or have some familiarity with it if you're managing your own money, or you're working with a financial advisor. And if you are working with a financial advisor, that person is going to want to understand what your individual financial situation is in terms of what your cash needs are over what period of time. And so if they've done their job right, then they've planned for what you're going to be needing for this year and next year and so on. And they're going to have money in your portfolio set aside in things like bonds to cover those outlays of cash. And so that's right, you really shouldn't worry about it. And another way to look at it is this. So today, if you look at what the 10-year treasury rate is, so the government bond rate for 10 years, is 0.8%, so not even 1%. So if you sign up and you buy a treasury today, you're going to get less than 1% per year for the next 10 years. Now, we don't know what the stock market, like the Dow Jones and the S&P, return is going to be over 10 years, but very likely that it's going to beat the 0.8%. In fact, historically speaking, 0.8% isn't even keeping up with inflation. So you're almost losing money by signing up for that type of an investment at this point. So, right, you do want to keep in mind the long game and the fact that some of that money in your portfolio is there for the future to help offset inflation. So you really need stocks to do some of the heavy lifting in terms of providing better average annual returns throughout coming 10, 20, 30 years.
When people hear how the stock market in particular has decreased in the last couple of weeks, there's almost a hysteria. Does that also then add to the negativity of the stock market and the volatility?
It can, absolutely. So it's, I think what you're getting at is what I've heard described as a negative feedback loop.
Oh, yes.
Meaning, you know, it starts off as we get some bad news and then people panic and start selling indiscriminately. And pretty soon perception can become reality. But that's why we have, so the other day you had earlier mentioned the market stopping or being paused for a period of time. So there was a 15-minute break in the day, and that's triggered by a circuit breaker in the markets where they stop trading for 15 minutes. And that's triggered when the market's down 7%.
Is that new since the 80s? Or when was that put into effect?
Yeah, that's right. That really came to be after Black Monday, I believe it was 1987, when the market was down 20% or 25% in just one day. So what happened at that time was the system was just overwhelmed with orders. After that, they decided we're going to put in some circuit breakers to allow everybody to pause and reassess. Take a breath and reassess what orders they have in the market if they want to make any changes. And in fact, the other day when it was triggered, it worked really well. The market reopened, it traded a little higher for a while, traded kind of sideways, and then ended up trading down, but in an orderly fashion. So there wasn't this huge washout. And if we did see a further decline to 13% off the high of the day or the start of the day, then another 15-minute pause would have come into play. And then if the market dropped 20% in a day, it ends trading for that day and starts up again the following day. So the circuit breaker is there. It hasn't been tested often. I think the last time it happened was in 1997, and it was just of the 15-minute variety at 7% down. So hasn't happened often, but we did test that, and it did work.
So when you think about the stock market being so volatile, I think a lot of people are worried about a recession. And what are some of the signs of a recession?
So a recession is two negative quarters in a row of GDP.
So it's really over a six-month period then?
Right. It's over a six-month period. And so it's really backward looking. So you don't know that you've had the recession, technically speaking, until after you can see and verify that that's happened. But some of the leading indicators out there of a recession are going to be, you know, what the orders are that are coming in for new business. And, you know, right now, obviously, we're kind of in the midst of a change in that data. So as recently as February, we were seeing a pretty decent performance. We added 100,000 more jobs than was expected that month. So I think we're going to see a lot of numbers shifting and changing and showing a slowdown. Question is, how much of a slowdown and for how long? The coronavirus in and of itself seems like it's going to be relatively temporary. I would guess in the next 12 to 18 months, it's pretty much behind us. Probably likely to have a vaccine. Sounds like some countries have gotten really aggressive in terms of quarantine, like China. If you believe their data, they say that the number of sick has really declined significantly. Italy recently put in a quarantine in that whole country, and we'll see how that prevents the spread. So there's going to be kind of a sharp economic impact here, but for how long, we don't know. And I guess the good news is we came into this with the economy on pretty solid footing. So we could see a pretty dramatic recovery if it looks like we're getting close to containment or looks like we're getting a better understanding of what the extent of the economic damage is going to be.
And then the oil market, I heard, was volatile also. So how does that play into all of this, please?
Yeah, so that certainly played a role in the market trading the other day where we had the circuit breaker tripped. So the news there was that there's a disagreement between Saudi Arabia and Russia in terms of the amount of oil that they're going to be producing. And sounds to me like Saudi Arabia basically said, well, we're going to flood the market. We're going to up our production and drive the prices down. And we'll see if the two countries come back to the negotiating table and settle on some amount of production that keeps the oil price stable. But that's certainly at the price that oil is currently at per barrel. U.S. companies really can't produce profitably at that. So that's why you saw oil stocks in particular get hammered that day. So we'll see what happens. That's yet to be determined. But historically speaking, we've always had a balancing out between supply and demand eventually.
So what would we hope for as Americans with this oil situation?
Well, I think we'd like to see stability, and I think we'd like to see a level where it's good for the consumer, and we certainly have that now. I think gas is under $2 a gallon around town, or in some areas for sure at this point, and may go lower. So that's a nice thing for us as consumers, but there is a part of the economy that's tied to oil production and services. And in the S&P 500, I believe that it's about 5% at this point is made up of energy stocks. And so they're going to really struggle. And if you have some of those businesses defaulting, there will be some impact to some banks and things like that. So we don't want oil to be at necessarily the level it's at now for the long term, but we'd just like to see it settle out at a number that kind of works for everybody.
So bottom line, you're giving us hope?
Well, I'm giving you hope, and I'd like to share one other thing, and that is there's an interesting piece that Dimensional Funds, which is one of the fund firms that we work with, put out. It's titled, What Happens When You Fail at Market Timing? And you will fail at market timing if you try to day trade or time things over the long term. It's extremely difficult to get the timing right in terms of picking the high and the low, right? So here's an example they give. In 1970, if you put $1,000 into the S&P 500, you would have had, at the end of August of last year, $138,000. Now, what if you were in it from 1970, but you missed just the one best performing day of the S&P 500? Instead of $138,000, you'd have $124,000. What if you missed the five best days during that stretch? You'd have $90,000 as opposed to $138,000. So this just goes to show, 5 days since 1970 through August of 2019, who could guess which 5 days during that time frame would have been the best? And you can see the cost of missing out on those days. So I think it's important that you not panic with your investments and that you stick with them. Make sure you're comfortable with what you own. Make sure that you follow your advisor's advice. And if you don't have an advisor, certainly consider talking to one.
Well, certainly we would love to chat it up with you, Jim. What is a good number for Vermilion Wealth?
You can reach us at 651-480-4601.
And is everybody so calm like you? Because I'm rather an alarmist, so this makes me feel so calm.
Well, good. I can just point to the facts, and then you decide how you want to react. But the fact of the matter is this type of volatility has happened before. It's going to happen again. I definitely wouldn't panic.
Great to see you.
Thank you.
We want to thank our guest today, Jim Papel. Vermilion Wealth is located in Hastings. Give them a call at 651-480-4601. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.